Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
One of Joe Biden's first actions as President of the United States was to cancel the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline.
After 4 topsy-turvy years with Donald Trump, Canada is reportedly on track for some early upset from Joe Biden as well.
And we have breaking news literally right now. The newly inaugurated U.S. President Joe Biden has now officially revoked the permit needed to build the Keystone XL pipeline.
I've been against Keystone from the beginning. It is tar sands that we don't need, that in fact is very, very high pollutant.
And one of Alberta Premier Jason Kenney's first reactions to Biden taking office was to get really, really mad about that.
This is a gut punch for the Canadian and Alberta economies. Sadly, it is an insult directed at the United States' most important ally and trading partner. As I speak, over 2,000 women and men have lost their jobs or heading home from good-paying union jobs as a result of this decision.
I don't mean to joke about Jason Kenney's anger. Alberta had a lot of money invested in this pipeline. They were counting on it for a lot of jobs. It's no wonder Kenney was angry. But considering that the premier of a Canadian province's anger is unlikely to shake the resolve of the new leader of the free world, maybe it is fair to ask, okay, so what is Alberta's plan B? Pipelines like Keystone XL are clearly an endangered species. The business world is slowly moving away from oil and gas. The federal government currently seems disinclined to lobby Joe Biden on Alberta's behalf, and our superpower neighbor next door is talking about investing in a green economy. So given all that, where does Alberta go next? And when they get there, will it still be Jason Kenney leading them? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Jason Markusoff is the Alberta correspondent for Maclean's magazine. He joins us to try to explain what happens now. Hello, Jason.
Wish me luck. Hi.
So in the couple of weeks now, since Joe Biden has taken office and immediately canceled the Keystone XL permit, how has Alberta reacted?
Not well, as could be expected, I suppose, is the way I'd put it. You know, Jason Kenney got elected with a 3-word slogan, not a phrase, a 3-word slogan: jobs, economy, pipelines. Pipelines was the big punctuation point on that. And it's been a big issue for the Alberta government and the Alberta economy for a long time, that we don't have this big glut of oil sands and oil we're producing, and nowhere really to ship it, or no way to ship it out of there. That's been a big drag on Alberta oil prices and bitumen prices for quite a while now. Keystone XL has been in the works for basically a decade now, since they applied for this project as TransCanada Energy. It's been so long that they're no longer called TransCanada, they're called TC Energy. Canada became less of an en vogue term to use in oil names. And this has become the kind of the poster child, the original poster child for environmental activism and pushback against oil industry through pipelines. The Americans have been pushing back on this from the left for quite a while. Obama killed it in 2015. He decided to not allow a permit. Donald Trump brought it back in 2017. And it was no surprise to almost anybody that Biden was going to kill it in 2021, once he got inaugurated. And yet it was portrayed as a major disappointment and huge letdown for the Alberta government, and to some extent for Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask if Obama killed this thing once already, and it's really unpopular with the American left, why didn't it seem like we were more prepared for this? You know, I played a clip in the intro of Kenny reacting on the day of Biden's inauguration, but surely as soon as it became clear he won, this was coming down the pipeline?
There was an optimism and almost, I'd say, an idealism about how a Biden administration might act. People knew well the history and the baggage that this project had, that it was killed by Obama when Joe Biden was the vice president,
right,
of course. And this had become this iconic push for the environmental movement. It had that totemic status. And yet there were people within the Canadian government and especially the Alberta government who thought they could craft an argument through which this would work. And that had several layers to it. One was the fact that there were many union jobs in America and in Canada on the go for this. It was going to produce jobs at a time when jobs are really scarce and these economies need these construction and industrial and infrastructure jobs. And they were hoping that would appeal to the lunch bucket union leanings of Joe Biden and his administration. There was also an argument that this was not the same project and the Alberta oil sands were not the same oil sands that they were in 2015 when this project was rejected by Obama, or before 2015, back when there was much less of an issue of oil sands cleaning up their act like there is now. The Alberta oil sands have worked their best to lower the carbon intensity and the carbon footprint of their projects, and they were going, TC Energy, the company that was going to build this pipeline, was talking about making their project carbon neutral, net zero, through various means, the actual pipeline construction itself, not the oil flowing through it. And there was also even a talk of giving Indigenous communities, which oppose this quite often in the States, some equity stake in it. So there were various ways the Canadians and Albertans thought they could thread the needle and make this an appealing project, maybe make it some kind of package deal with other green initiatives that that Canada and Biden would go through jointly. But the legacy of this project, the baggage of this project in the States, the politics surrounding this, a whole saga from Obama to Trump to Biden, made it an easy win for Biden to kill, despite all the positives that this project could have given, ostensibly.
So how big a deal is this in straight economics terms? You mentioned it had been in the works for a decade. Do we have an idea of the amount of money sunk here? You mentioned jobs. How many are not now coming to Alberta? They must have been counting on this for a lot.
There was a lot going for this job in terms of the economy. There were 2,000 construction jobs. We're talking a lot of jobs in small town eastern Alberta, where the oil activity is not doing great. Where, these hard hit towns that have been really suffering under the decline of the pipeline sector. The Alberta government was talking about $30 billion in revenue, and that's just for the pipeline. That's just through the pipeline itself. The oil flowing through it, and the opportunity to flow more oil through it, of course, was the big boon for a pipeline, as it is for any of the pipelines that have lived or died or been proposed and killed and are maybe still fledgling since then. Oil is much cheaper to flow through a pipeline than is to, say, transport on train or on trucks, which are some of the other methods they're using to transport oil. So these are, you know, better profit margins for companies' ability to invest it in other projects, which employ more people. That's always the cycle and the ideal of oil. It also helps lift the Alberta oil price, which helps helps Alberta produce more energy. So there were those multipliers. But all that said, this was not the make or break project that it might have been in the past. Alberta needs more pipeline capacity. Well, despite this setback with Keystone XL, Alberta is going to be getting more pipeline capacity. There's another project, Enbridge's Line 3, an existing pipeline to the Midwest from Alberta, that's going to be expanded and where the permits are mostly through, it's this pipeline has a pretty good chance of succeeding despite some pushback. There's also the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, the TMX one. That's the one that the federal government bought under Trudeau for $7 billion, and construction is underway on that. There's still some pushback and some protest in British Columbia, but they're pretty confident they can get that online by late next year. And a lot of the economics of oil, given where demand has started to fall with the pandemic and even, you know, and looking forward with a more carbon-constrained world, economists say there may not actually be the need for Keystone XL and for Line 3 and for TMX. So if this one falls, as long as the other two are good to go, Alberta is going to be okay. But of course, you know, you don't like to lose one because another one may fall off the rails. It's hard to put any certainty or any confidence in betting on pipelines to succeed these days.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about beyond this pipeline is, you know, it's been hailed on the left that this cancellation is, you know, one of the last pipelines that's going to be a net new pipeline that's going to be built. And I don't know the answer to that, but is this part of a trend? Is this a sign of things to come? Or is this, you know, Joe Biden made a campaign promise to people who voted for him, so he kept it?
Well, in terms of there being major new pipelines, given that where oil demand might be going in the future, there may not be a big rush to put more pipelines forward. The last time Keystone XL died in 2015, that was around the time that TransCanada started really touting its Energy East pipeline, this big pipeline project from Alberta to New Brunswick through Ontario and Quebec to take an old natural gas pipeline and start running bitumen through it. And that, you know, that went away in part because of politics, in part because of the economics of it. We're not hearing about that from TC Energy now. And I think part of that is just that the demand isn't quite there the same way. In terms of what the left might be doing and what the future is, this is something that Jason Kenney is tipping at. And this could be a growing tension between oil economies and environmentalists. It's the push to shut down other pipelines. There is pressure for Biden to act somehow against Line 3. There's also a major pipeline, Enbridge's Line 5, which goes through Michigan en route to Sarnia, the refineries at Sarnia, to support oil demands in Ontario. And Michigan is trying to eliminate their permits. And that's a big, big international fight between Canada and U.S. that's kind of bubbling under. But if an existing pipeline is nixed, that could create huge problems for Alberta and, well, Ontario as well.
So given the current volatility of all this stuff and, you know, the move towards green energy and green economies, but still the need for oil and gas, obviously. Is Alberta working on a plan B? That's what I'm trying to understand about what's going on out there. Is, you know, it seems like every time we talk to somebody about environmental issues, they talk about the huge opportunities out west for a green economy. And every time we talk to somebody from Alberta, the constant push is oil and gas.
It's going to be hard for any government to turn the entire ship of the Alberta economy away from oil. First of all, the demand is still there for oil and will be for a few decades yet. You know, even if everybody follows through on these plans to eliminate new gas combustion vehicles in favor of electrics by 2035, there's still all those other cars on the market. There's still all those planes and so much other demand for oil. Oil demand isn't going to completely go away anytime soon. Jason Kenney's government certainly internalizes that that reality and that rhetoric. So while they are making some moves, and they've been increasingly doing it since last spring when the oil economy crashed again and with the pandemic and other supply issues, they've been making some various steps with help of the federal government, looking at hydrogen energy. Can be an offshoot of natural gas, geothermal, small nuclear, a lot of energy about wind and solar. Are all those sectors going to replace the hundreds of thousands of jobs in the oil sector? Not anytime quick. It's a very hard thing for Alberta to figure out a way to seamlessly without any major disruption and major pain, shift an entire economy. And I don't think you could say this government is really thinking about that that full transition with any seriousness, because they don't really want to give up just yet on squeezing every last drop out of this oil economy.
How is that playing for Kenny politically, standing up so hard for oil and gas and standing up for the pipelines?
I think we're starting to see an increasing split between not only rural and progressive, this, you know, the what base the NDP has, which is bigger than it used to be, but still not a dominant sector within Alberta, but almost the rural-urban split, which kind of goes along the conservative progressive lines, but not quite. There are those who really believe in Kenny's message that we need to protect the oil sector. Let's stand up for it against the big bad greenies, the foreign-funded environmentalists, and the green pieces of the world. Let's make sure we preserve those good jobs that gave Alberta its boom. Let's bring back the Alberta advantage. There are those who believe that, and he's, you know, he is making a good effort to fight for those, be the voice of those people, be the voice of the existing and industry, I guess you could call it in media terms, the legacy industry of Alberta. And then there's a growing number of people who realize that the good times, the booms are not coming back, that there is about 30% vacancy in Calgary offices right now, and we're going to have to find some other way to fill those. There are organizations and movements looking at serious pivot toward the tech sector and other sectors. Even Jason Kenney's government has started to put some money into that, not as much as some of the money they've put into incentives for oil, and even $1.5 billion in equity for this failed pipeline, money that's basically now a loss or almost a write-off for the Alberta government, it seems. But there is some movement, not a lot, and Jason Kenney is going to disappoint those people who want more serious look at transition and diversification of our economy. But for that conservative and rural base that really wants to keep this economy, this energy economy afloat, keep it vibrant and keep a future in it, people are going to be happy that he's still swinging for it.
Can he continue to swing for this pipeline in particular? This is the same thing that Obama did, right? It's just canceling a permit and then Trump can reinstate the permit. Could this still go the other way?
It's abundantly hard to see how this goes the other way. It seems that the federal government, which was trying to push this along those same lines I was arguing before, trying to thread that needle, talk about the environmental goodness of this oil sands pipeline project. There was an effort to do that before. Once Biden made his decision and made it a day one priority, an executive action, an easy win for him, the federal government decided to cut their losses. Jason Kenney hasn't. He's been talking about, maybe we should even retaliate with economic sanctions. We should fight for compensation for the parts of the oil pipeline that we've already built. There's been parts of it built, including the part that crosses the border between Canada and the U.S., although much of it on either side was still to be completed. It's weird to hear such a free trader like Jason Kenney talking about sanctions, and it's kind of easy for him to talk about them in this way because Alberta doesn't apply international sanctions on countries because it's not a country.
Right.
He knows this is a lobby. This is an argument that he's going to push, and that it's something that Justin Trudeau or probably even a conservative prime minister would never implement, never get into a trade war about something like this. But it's definitely something that shows people in Alberta that he's still fighting for oil sands, still fighting for pipelines. There could be a push. There's talk of lawsuits under USMCA, the former NAFTA, to try to recoup some of the money that was put into this. There's fight there, but there's also there's that political push to show that you made the good try, that you're not letting this go, that you're still frustrated, that you're not going to quit on this. Do we hear Jason Kenney talking about this every day right now? No, but is he going to keep bringing it up and keep citing it as a sore spot in Canada-U.S. relations and with Alberta-Ottawa relations? Absolutely.
And in the meantime, how long until the next Alberta election?
We got 2 years come May. or the next Alberta election. There are a whole bunch of other things that are dogging Kenny, including this $1.5 billion loss, the challenges of bringing back this economy, the deficit, his COVID reaction, various other stumbles. It's been a rough patch for Jason Kenney. You know, we'll see how fresh memories are of this pipeline. Who knows? Maybe there will be two extra pipelines in the ground and operating by 2023 that he can cite as progress. But I don't think we'll be talking about Keystone XL much come 2023, except in the bitter rearview mirror.
Thanks, Jason, for explaining to us how people out there see it. We miss that sometimes.
Oh, my pleasure.
Jason Markusoff of Maclean's. That was The Big Story. For more, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find all our previous episodes there. You can also talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Pipelines, huge topic on Twitter. People love them. You can, of course, email us if you want to keep your opinions just between you and me. It's TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, all lowercase, at rci.rogers.com. And you can make your opinions very public by rating and reviewing this podcast wherever you get it, on Apple and Google and Stitcher and Spotify and every other podcast platform in existence. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.